And now it's time for News from the Boo, the weekly segment from people inside of and around KBOO with news from your community radio station.
It's 5:40 on a Wednesday, and as always, that means it is time for News from the Boo, our weekly roundup of items of interest here at the station and in the greater listening community. We've got a full house tonight. We are being joined this evening by Gil Cardone, who is one of our station co-managers, and also we have joining us tonight Selena Chow, who may be our most frequent guest on News from the Boo at this point. She is our National Digital Stewardship resident from the American Archive of Public Broadcasting. So, Selena, we'll start with you because we want to get an update on what you've been up to since the last time we spoke. So let's rewind first and describe for us, when did you join KBOO as the stewardship resident?
I've been KBOO's digital stewardship resident since the end of July, which seems like a long time ago. The time has just been flying by. And I've been here working to build frameworks and workflows that will support digital preservation of news and public affairs audio content. For example, one goal is to inform the community that digitization alone is not the same as digital preservation. When an organization is committed to digital preservation, it means that the files and information about the digital resources are created according to workflows that ensure the best quality and best representation of cultural heritage material, and that the information is consistent and accurate, that information is monitored over time, and that there is a plan for access of the materials into the future.
Can you describe one of those workflows or what a workflow would look like that would achieve these goals?
Sure. So we do some digitization in-house, and then we also send out items to a vendor, some of our more fragile materials where we know that the vendor takes care of their equipment and is more suited for doing digitization on a bulk of materials that we send them. So when we digitize in-house, you know, sometimes people want information right away, and that's great, and there's different ways to digitize materials. But to digitize in a high-level quality audio, we prefer a sample rate of like 96 kilohertz. We have bits of like 24 bits for WAV files. We collect different metadata, which is information about when it was created, the digital file, and in addition to when it was originally broadcast or recorded. We make sure that information stays the same over time. We often use an algorithm to ensure that the bits in the file stay the same when it's being transferred from place to place. So when we have in-house digitization, we use different softwares. There's some really great ones out there. I think a lot of digital archivists use open source technology because it helps automate some processes, and the technology can be built upon when there's a community around it. But anyways, one of these open source softwares is called Media Info, and we can find out the details of a file. Even if I'm going back and checking information from past digitization to see the quality of the file, there's different information about the file that shows up in that in the fields there. We also use a program called FFmpeg, which creates an MP3 file for listening off of the WAV file, so that our WAV file is a preservation file. It goes into a storage place that is consistently monitored for, you know, being up and running and making sure the file doesn't change. Am I going into the weeds and describing this workflow?
Not to me, certainly.
Okay, great. I'm glad you're following along. So there's different pieces of information that goes into the process. We document different things on a technical level, on a descriptive level, and take care of the files in a certain way using various software programs.
So talk to us a little bit about how this project was funded.
Sure. So I've been on the program News from the Boo for a couple times, and I described how this program that I'm here is funded by a grant by the IMLS, which is the Institute for Museum and Library Services. And the NDSR program, the National Digital Stewardship Residency Program, is organized and overseen by the Library of Congress in Washington, D.C. So the NDSR programs have multiple cohorts. So I'm in the cohort that is working now with public broadcasting materials. There have been previous NDSR programs. All of them relate to preserving digital heritage content in the United States. So there have been ones, there's ones just starting about art. There's things about science data and biodiversity, digital information. There have been geographically connected ones like cohorts in Washington, D.C. There's one in New York, I believe. I'm not remembering them all, but it's a program that is distributed and also geographically in the same locale.
And as far as the Spirit Mountain Community Fund, what did that do for Cable? What were we able to purchase with that?
Yeah, so when I started here, I learned that KBOO had already been awarded this grant from a local community foundation. And it's great that KBOO has a relationship with them. They awarded us some money that now has been used to fund our new storage for digital preservation files. Before everything, I don't know if you're familiar with working at KBOO, for those of you out there who are volunteers at a station. A lot of information is just on the S drive, the main storage share server. And for digital preservation, it's really important that files have its own place and, you know, dedicated space and more space to grow and put more digital files. You know, KBOO is committed to digitizing more, so there needs to be a place for them to go. So it funded server space, a backup space for the server. It funds our vendor costs, so we sent out recently 108 OpenReel items, and we got them back this week, which is great. So in the coming weeks, I'll be working with Aaron Yankee, and we'll be doing some what I call the post-digitization work of the digital preservation.
Yeah, I was actually really curious about that, because I think we get a sense of what you have been doing over the last 9 months, but sadly, we don't get to keep you forever. And so what is your role in that transition to the post-digitization era here at KBOO?
Well, everything is written down. One of the deliverables for my project here was updated guidelines and procedures. And so this document I have in draft form is already up to like 66 pages, and that's broken down into, you know, the guidelines. What is digital preservation? Why are we doing it? What are our standards here at KBOO? And that's something that I assessed, taking the national standards and guidelines into consideration, and also how KBOO is structured. So that's like one part. And then a second part is all the procedures, like the how-tos, right? So how do you digitize from DAT here at KBOO? How do you digitize from Minidisc? How do you take care of the equipment? We have Mike Johnson's been a real help in providing his engineering services to make sure that our machines will be up to date in the future. Also, post-digitization.
I'm glad I'm not the only one who has trouble with that.
Yeah, I have to say this word a lot and I still have trouble. But there's a certain amount of work that KBOO does to prepare to send things out, and then a certain amount of work that we do after things come back. So the post stuff, it's all, you know, it's all written down in a procedure that I believe is fairly easy to read. But while I'm here, of course, I want to train somebody on new stuff whenever possible. So, yeah, there's different volunteers that come through. Aaron, of course, has been my point person. Aaron Yankee, the program director.
Cool. So, Selena, when I think about a project or a community coming together and wanting to preserve their history for future generations, I think about schools putting like a time capsule together, right? Putting things in a big metal box, and you have this big event, you dig a hole in the ground, and you stick it down in there. So I'm wondering, for this digitization project, how is the information stored?
The physical or the digital?
Both.
Okay. Well, physical materials. I've learned that, you know, KBOO as a community radio station, we have former hosts and current hosts that probably have their own materials at home. So that's one place where things are. KBOO has its own room of audio analog assets in a shelf, stored in, you know, a particular way that helps their longevity. The digital files are on the server. I was kind of mentioning that we purchased a new space for them. Files are saved in a certain format with certain quality and are checked on a regular basis. Is there any particular
Well, actually,
places you want to...
That raises a good point. So after they've been digitized, the old analog audio, will that still be held by KBOO in some fashion, or are we going to dispose of it?
There, that has usually been the traditional way of archiving, where we keep the original, because as far as we know, we've captured the best possible now, but we don't know what's going to happen in 5 years, 10 years. When I came, and I've updated the procedures to improve it a bit based on what KBOO can be capable of staff-wise and resource-wise. You know, what happens in the future when KBOO can purchase new equipment and software? I think that the quality is pretty good for now. But, you know, when we think about, you know, you can see it a lot more in visual audio or video, where if you watch TV from the 90s, it looks really old, right? So that part of that is the quality that it was originally broadcast or recorded on. But some of the things can improve. And, you know, I think that one of our standbys is keeping track of the original.
Well, like with video, in audio, is it possible to essentially upconvert at the time that you're digitizing it so that you end up with a higher fidelity copy than the original?
Well, I've noticed that the recording of audio is really varied. You know, like, it's not like there's certain level limits that's very consistent from program to program. But also another thing that we try to do for preservation files is capture the item as it is the best way. So all the editing that happens is in a file that is downstream of the preservation file, if that makes sense. So you always want to capture the best representation of what you have. If it's awful sound, you just try to make sure that the awful sound is in the physical stuff and it's not something introduced during digitization. And if however good it is, that's great. But anything that's edited is a different file, not your preservation file.
Is it considered desirable to try to clean up the audio, or is it more desirable to maintain fidelity to the original condition of the audio?
I always think that it's better to best represent the original. That's what we're doing with archiving, you know, to not lose the aspect of what an item is or where it came from. So there's curation in digital information, and then there's also just preservation, you know. So when we have the best quality of a thing, then you can curate and represent it and market it and edit it in a multiple many ways, right? So there's different ways you can go off from the one file. But the main thing for preservation is a file that will last for decades. And you don't have to touch it unless you want to and create new things.
Well, before we run out of time, there's a big archives event coming up this month here at the station. Can you tell us a bit about it?
Yeah, I'm hoping that people who are listening, who are interested in archives and looking at our stuff, you know, finding out more about what is here, and also have interest in helping out, that can help contribute information about our audio archives, would come down to the station on Saturday, March 25th, from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. We're calling it a database edit-a-thon and party. We're going to have some food. I'll be here with some of my regular volunteers who can train people and introduce them to our database. What we're really looking for is people to come down with their stories and information and just knowledge of the past 49 years of KBOO being on the air. You know, no one individual person knows everything about the archives. There's names in there that I don't know who they are, don't have last names. There's audio that don't have dates. There's just a lot of questions that come up, you know, and I feel that if we have a way for people to come down, interact with each other, meet each other, share their information, it'll be a lot of fun and really helpful for the archives as well.
And lastly, Gil, do you want to jump in and update us with some other things that are going on?
Oh, well, yeah, definitely. I just also to add on to what Selena was saying, if you're interested, because I actually did put it in my calendar, so thank you for inviting me, Selena. Even though I was not here during those times, it'd be interesting, I think, to get a chance to meet these folks and learn a little bit more history. But if you're interested for more information on the website, it's kboo.fm/editparty2017 for more information. And along those lines, as you know, a couple of weeks ago when I was here, we spoke a little bit about the social media contest we were having. And I want to say thank you very much to all the entrants, all the people who sent in pictures with their pets, because we got some really nice entries after that. And so we got some good news and some sad news. The sad news is the contest, yes, is over as of yesterday. It was February 28th. The good news is I've heard from our web coordinator and social media director that we've extended the voting for about another, a little more than a week, until March 10th. So there's still time. So speaking of our website, if you go to kboo.fm/petsagainsttrump, you'll go directly to the page where you can vote. And in addition to the entries that we talked about last time, you'll see some really cool ones, just to name a few, if that's okay.
Sure.
Right up at the top, we have one of our intrepid staff members. She's holding, it looks like a dachshund, right? And I've seen this little guy running around the station, so definitely a regular around here. And the caption says, "Dis pupper." And below that, whoa, we have a black and white cat with big, giant, round, green eyes. They're looking kind of like, you know, suspiciously or smugly, kind of like looking into the camera saying, "Natasha is not amused." And they're probably a very intelligent cat because they're sitting on a desk full of books. And then below that, this is very interesting. What do you think that is, a parakeet?
I would say it's a cockatoo.
Cockatoo. Yep. Oh, you're right. Thank you. And so literally, the feathers are ruffled. I mean, a lot. And it has this long, old, like, a bunch of feathers on top, and even orange feathers to top it off. And the caption says, "How dare you compare my coif to Trump's?" And then below that, that's a really cool dog. Holding on to a mug with a picture of our former president, Barack Obama. And actually, it looks like the dog is smiling, right?
I would say so.
And the caption says, "I used to be so happy." And then the mug says, under Barack's picture, President Obama's picture, "Made in the USA." And
we have a ton of them on here.
Yeah, there's a lot more.
So how
right?
can people get on there and vote?
Yeah, what's the is that just the KBOO Facebook page?
That's a great question. Yes. So as you'll see when you visit the kboo.fm/petsagainsttrump, under each picture there's a little checkbox and it says "Vote for this pet to win the hashtag Pets Against Trump contest." So you check box, and you can only check one box. You can only choose one. And then as you scroll down to the bottom, you'll find a little blue submit button. So you just click on that, and that's how you vote.
Excellent. Well, Gil, thank you so much for coming in. And Selena, thank you as always for coming in and giving us an update on what you've been up to. We look forward to hearing an additional progress report before you wrap this whole thing up for us. Maybe more than one. Several, in fact. For those of you out there, this has been News from the Boo. We will join you again next week with some more interesting tidbits of station information. In the meantime, have yourselves an excellent evening.
Thank you.